You're probably here to talk through the life journal leading. And there's a couple things I want to see. You see in your handout, there's getting the most out of your life journal. I'm going to go in depth with this in the next breakout with hopefully individuals that want to come and figure more how to do a life journal and what it means. And then your page that we're going to spend time on is the second page that we'll walk through. We'll finish with a little bit of just Q&A back and forth with me, and I'll go over this resource page that you're more than willing and free to make copies of. I can send you an electronic version if you want to get it out to your members and your life group, get it out to people you know. It's just we wanted to do a simplified recommended resource list, and I'll walk through that a little bit. But this is interactive today. I don't want to just stand up here and fill in all the blanks and go over all the points, and we walk and be on our way. If you have questions or in the midst of, you know, what does this mean for my group? I've experienced this. You said this here. What does that mean for me? Just interrupt me. I'll try to clarify for the tape. That way we can have it for our leaders. That's pretty clear. But I'm going to sprint through this first section that you have with blanks. And if you need a pen, there's one on this table here that you can get. And then we'll spend some time on our second page finishing out. We'll be done here at 11 o'clock, which will be good. So we got about 40 minutes. And we may not need all that time with six people asking questions. Anything to start off that just wrestling with, you know, life journal in particular, or just settling in? Okay, great. I asked the question, and I'll do this with these with individuals as well that are looking to just start a life journal. What is a life journal? And it's not magical. It's not a the standard for Bible study or devotion or anything. Reality is, it was one church in Oahu that put together a Bible reading plan and printed it up in a nice journal format and said, hey, here's some practical stuff that you can start getting, you know, time in the Word as a discipline. And they use all the things that are in the front of it. They look like this if you don't have them. We have them with our name, the Well Community Church, in it. It has, obviously, all kinds of little helps at the beginning, which we'll get into, daily pages to record. And it's basically like a spiral notebook with a Bible reading plan in it. But I want you to know we've come behind them just because we believe in it, and we've simplified it, made it a little bit of ours. And we look for this kind of environment. It may not be a life journal forever, meaning we may not order from them from ever. We may just create our own Bible reading plan and call it a devotional life, whatever. But we look to this long-term for us as a church being the primary outlet for life groups, for individuals, hopefully, in their growth. And you'll learn that there's freedom in that to go and to expand and to grow in it. So that's what a life journal is. These tips here, there's five of them. There's some blanks for you to fill in that you can use as a leader too, maybe first off in your group as you start next spring or sometime again down the road, just saying, hey, here's some things. Let me just go over. And we can get you these documents. They'll be available on the website, and you can just use them to help teach your group really what it is. First tip, prayer and discipline. Pray for God's illumination into your time. We model what our Savior Jesus did, and that he spent a lot of time in prayer with the Father. And when he wasn't in ministry, you know, or discipling his folks, he was praying and he was seeking insight. And it's something we easily forget. I know I do all the time in my daily life of just saying, when I approach this journal or whatever I'm reading, do I sit down before and say, hey, God, open my heart and my eyes here. I need you to change the way I'm thinking, because if it's left up to me, I'll probably just, you know, skim through the words and be done and feel like I just checked a box. So pray for God's illumination into your time. Second one, find a common time and a common place. There's a sense that we need to kind of have expectations of ourselves in our devotional life. If we leave it to when it happens, it'll happen. The truth is, it probably never happens, you know, or happens rarely, and occasionally we live this popcorn kind of devotional life. Make sure it's kind of easy, obvious, and strategic. For me, it's at the kitchen table. For me, it's in my office early. If I have an early day here, I like to go back up to my office, you know, turn the lamps on where it's kind of quiet, maybe put a little music on, which we'll get to in a little bit. And it's just, it's for me, you know, it's a common time and a common place. And morning, for me, works. It's not for most people. There's a lot of people that's like, you know, before 10 o'clock, my brain doesn't even fire at synapses. Okay, that's okay. A sense of what you want to hear today is give your people freedom to find what works for them. For some people, it's the end of the night. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm at my sharpest at 10:30 at night. For me, I start double rubbing at 9:30, you know, and at 10 o'clock I'm snoring. Just, there's no way that I could make that as the most beneficial time for me. Third, that kind of follows that idea of common time, common place, is don't let your schedule dictate your devotion. Let your devotion dictate your schedule. And that's just making a sense of, what are you going to say no to? What are you going to make, you know, do we really think we need to make it a priority? Because if so, we'll set aside time. And when the invitation comes to get coffee or to do this or whatever, say, you know what, I can't meet you here, but I can meet you here. And just starting to carve out that time and protect it will, I think, help lead to getting started on the right foot. And the last one under that section of prayer and discipline, quiet environments help eliminate distractions. We are such a noise-oriented society. We have TVs on in the background, radios going when we're driving, phones on all the time, you know, dialogue in the public places and the workplace. And it's just not a quiet world anymore, especially in Western culture. And I'm not saying it has to be absolutely quiet, because there's those of us that when it's dead quiet, you know, the first crack or squeak of something, we're distracted. We're like, what was that? You know, I like to have a little music on pretty low in the background. Sometimes, you know, it's praise and worship stuff that just helps me get focused. But know that quiet environments help eliminate distractions. Tip two, start small and aim big. The problem is we want Bible study or devotional life to be more than it really is. For some reason, there's this pressure we carry as leaders and as individuals that we have to have an hour worth of the best time with God ever, and it's got to be the most impactful reading, and we spend another half hour in prayer, and then we're ready to go. You know, we always set this kind of ethereal bar for us in our devotional life, and reality is it can be pretty simple. And you need to start small and aim big. And if it's not a discipline or hasn't been in life, you know, start with little victories, 15 minutes, you know, before you say, I'm going to get up every morning at 5 and have a devotion for an hour. You know, people will be good at that for about a week, you know, and then they'll be done. Second one there, there are different ways to approach the same study, meaning you can try reading out loud, encouraging your people to read out loud the scriptures, you know, have them, you know, maybe pray first and then write, or write first and then read, you know, and just there's lots of different ways, and we need to give our people the freedom to approach the devotional life in kind of varying ways and personal ways. And the last one is feel the freedom to relax in the Word. If there's anything I want our people to know in a devotional life, just relax in God's Word. And there's days when you'll read stuff in Leviticus and Lamentations and, you know, even Revelation that's confusing. You'll go, what did I just read? You know? And as leaders, it's even harder for us to go in and say, man, I had trouble this week. How am I going to lead this thing? Feel the freedom to relax in the Word. And pick one thing. We'll get to that one big idea here in a little bit. But just, you know, God's Word is here for a reason and for us. And we need to be okay with that every day doesn't have to be a mountaintop experience. Every day isn't the removal of something big in our lives, but we're being devoted in the small things so that when the big things come, we can mark them more clearly. You know, and then it's a life of sustaining. You know, one of the illustrations I heard as a young pastor, a mentor of mine and back in Arkansas, he sat me down, and I'm just talking through life and where I want to go, and I want to do this, so I'm laying it all out. And he's like, time out. He goes, you're running a sprint right now, and you'll be done in 100 meters. This thing called Christianity is a marathon. It's a lifetime. And it should be an easy transition and segue into eternity with Christ. You know, that our life has just grown, and there's more sanctification that's happening in Christ coming out of us, and that when the time He takes us home, it's just an expression then eternally of what we've grown to do and grown to be obedient of. Okay, so feel the freedom to relax in the Word. Take the pressure off your people. Okay, I'll get to that in tips on the second page here in a second, but our people are way too, we're hearing so much feedback of just this pressure on life journals. And I asked my question, and Wendy and I talk about it, the community leadership team and I talk about it. Where does this pressure come from to feel like every box has to be checked in your life journal? I personally struggle with that, but I'm an achiever. You know, it's like, oh, I need to get that done, or I need to catch up. Where does that pressure come from? I'm here to remove that from you today as a leader, especially with your group. Tip three, know yourself. God designed you uniquely, and He wants to use your gifts and talents for His sake. A lot of people don't believe that, especially leaders. You know, it's that training wheel mentality. I thought it was so fitting today, especially heading into these breakouts with LifeJournal. We've got to take the training wheels off people's devotional life. Beth Moore studies are great. Max Lucado books are great. All these sources are great, but they can become training wheels in a sense that people are dependent on them for guidance. The reality is God gave you a mind and a brain and the same Word He gave me. The same Word He gave Brad and Mike and Chris and the elders and all these people He gave that we have. And He wants to use it in our lives. So know that you're uniquely made. If you haven't been through discovery or taken your unique design, do it. You'll find out some, you know, fascinating stuff about yourself as a leader, and in turn, it'll help you recognize your group better and lead better in this sake. And know your best times and worst times. Know when you're going to be at your best and at your worst, and just be honest with that. Sometimes we want to be more than we really are, or think we can be something we're not. And like those ceilings of complexity, we just need to recognize that and know our best times and our worst times. And so we add that into our commonplace, our common time, especially when we lead. If you know it's at 8 o'clock at night, it's really hard for you to just verbalize stuff, and it's kind of your downtime of the day, don't set your life journal group at that time. You know, don't make it at that time. Offer it in the morning. Try it, you know, something different. Maybe a lunch works better. You get business people together at a common place. I don't know. But know your best times and worst times. Tip 4, have a plan and look for one big idea. I'll try to get through the last one the quickest. SOAP is in your life journal. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's an acronym on how to walk through the dailies, readings, and stuff. The focus and observations. Try to find one focus. You know, there's going to be tons of observations. For example, we are looking at, 1 Corinthians? We're in 6 early chapters right now, and there's all this stuff on divorce, especially today. If you've read today, it's like, do this, divorce wife, and don't do this, and virgin, blah, 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 and there's all this stuff. It can be overwhelming, and the reality is, man, find something that hits home. For me, yesterday, at the end of chapter 6, it's talking about sexual immorality in Corinthians, and Paul says, your body is not your own, so therefore honor God with your body. And I start to think, and that was kind of the one thing I just wrestled on. I said, that's why we teach people not to have sex before they're married. Because your body's not your own. You know, and so you just find this one idea, and you learn to just sit and relax in that and focus on it, find some observations in it. I keep what's called distraction paper with me in my devotional time or prayer time, because I am... I'm random. I'm like the Tasmanian devil sometimes. My world's just spinning. And so I'll be going through a devotional reading and something will come from, oh, have you thought about this meeting later today? Or an idea. And so I literally just, on this piece of paper, write it. And then I'm done with it. Because for me, when I write it, it's like, okay, I know I can come back to it. And encourage your people to do that. Our world is so busy with so many things, you know, just say, hey, I literally have all these half sheets of paper right next to my, and I just write them. And then when I get to my day, I organize them out and I'm done with it. But in that moment, I can kind of let them go. Plan variety once in a while in your life journal. Go have it outside. You know, go do your reading outside somewhere. Getting, you know, being in nature always changes your perspective in a devotional. Go meet in a public place where you guys, you know, pray as a group for different people. Or you read a little bit and then go engage with someone, you know, out in the public. Just plan for that variety because it's that spice that'll keep things fresh. It may change some influences. It may raise passions for people. You know, art is a place. Take your life journal to a museum or something in town. We have a pretty creative tower district. There's lots of things you can go down there and do. You know, at the movies. We're starting a life journal, which is going to be fascinating, I think, in the spring, or a life group in the spring that's on movies. That they're going to get together and watch movies and then talk about the spiritual implications for that. You know, are there places in your devotional life that you could kind of punt from your reading for a day, God forbid, take people to go see a movie, and then have spiritual questions about it, you know, or say, where did you see God in it? Or how did this affect you? Those things are totally permissible and they provide variety. Walk away with one idea for the day or that time period. And I say time period because sometimes this thing of like, for me, instance, in this 1 Corinthians 6, where it says, honor God with your body because it's not your own. That's just been settling on me for a couple days now, you know. Allow those things to settle in your people. Allow them to wrestle and ponder and think and challenge them to memorize. But get them, the more we can focus them towards one idea, one thing, the more likely they are to process it, to move it into application in their life, to let it settle, rather than all these varied experiences. Tip 5, celebrate the victory. Share with others what you're learning. That's hard for a lot of us who a devotional life, especially journaling, isn't easy. We have these experiences and then they kind of fade away and we never know. I've got to have the discipline of writing them down and review that quarterly, you know, every half year, every year or so, and just say, oh yeah, that's what God did. And teach your people to do that. Teach your members to do that. Write down answered prayers and growth moments. They need to be marked. They'll ingrain in our brain in a memory, but memories are fleeting. And when you tell them about them, they have some accountability that goes out. And finally, praise God for His handiwork. You know, just thank Him that He's doing things, He's changing things, small victories to big victories. Just make a kind of a public profession of praising Him for what He is. All right, turning to the second page, leading life journal groups, okay? And these are just tips, more or less, and I hope that you'll maybe find time to interrupt here, ask questions. If not, we'll get to them in the end, and we'll deal specifically with things in your groups maybe. Leading a life journal group means first that you have a life journal discipline. Okay, if we're going to commit to these things in leaders and say, this is what we're doing, we need to model it. And I know it's not easy. I haven't hit every day since we started life journals in August. I've had to catch up some days. I've gone forward some days because I'm just enjoying the reading. But we need to model this for ourselves. Okay, if it ain't working at home, don't export it. Number one, I think it's funny to start here because it's not usually where you think you would go as a leader. Be a good listener. In a life journal group, we can feel these pressure as leaders to come and say, I got to teach people the word here. I got to explain to them. And that's not necessarily the case in life groups. You be a good listener and you'll be surprised at what God will bring to the table for discussion through people. And that's an active discipline. It's not just, what do you guys think? All right, what'd you get this week in your life journal? Sometimes that works. I use that a lot because I have guys who are proactive. I have young leaders in my life journal group right now. They're just like, man, this and what's this? And they're going. But when you ask that to some groups, they're just like, you know, find ways to ask different questions to get it going. The group isn't primarily about you or your insights. Let me qualify that with, you know, we value you guys as leaders and as life group leaders shepherding community, okay? So in a sense, it's a lot about you, but that group at that moment isn't about you and what you've got and what you're giving. It's about the whole group experience. In connecting groups we've had, it's been interesting watching different leaders in those groups because you can find ones that are like, I'm going to share this. Well, yeah, well, God told me this here. And you got people that are being quiet, and we're trying to let all those people experience to it. And when you have that insight pressure, you know, it limits what the other people are getting out of it. Ask yourself a question. Do you care more about the people or the discussion? And are you okay with taking a rabbit trail? And that when someone gets vulnerable, or a guy or gal gets vulnerable in an instance, said, this is where the scripture spoke to me and I'm broken here. Do you have discernment and wisdom enough to call a time out and go, yeah, we need to stay here? How did that make you feel as a brother to him this week when you met? Or, you know, what can we do to care for him? Those are great because you're letting scripture drive those things rather than just getting through, okay, we got through three chapters of Old Testament, New Testament, done. Remember that these individuals that are there, God has entrusted you with. I did a thing on shepherding last guild, and just the idea that the people that are in your group, through sovereignty, through providence, through divine intervention, are your people that God has entrusted you with. And I know that they're not always great, and they're not always lovable, and they can, you know, there's some guys that you're like, man, just get it. I just want you to get it. When we have the perspective that God has entrusted us with these people, we can work in the process a little more and realize it's more about the process and getting through than it is the completion of a task. It's a journey, not a destination. Anything on listening that you guys are finding, questions you're having, problems coming up? You have an over-talker, Mr. Insight that's always given his interpretation of what he got out or she got out? Over-talker.
We've discussed it. When you were going over, you don't always have to be at your house or where, you know, go out and do something. We went out to dinner just to know each other versus knowing each other in Bible study, just to get to know each other. We went out, and it was the greatest thing we've ever done. And the life group has changed so dramatically because we went out and we had a nice dinner with everyone, and we just got stuff out. You know, we talked about, you know, things on the people that may be dominating, and people who we learned about each other's personality and how some people, if you ask a question, you got to give them 10 minutes before they could say it because they're thinking about X, Y, Z over here, and some people are moved on over here, and so it was fabulous.
Have you had a group since then?
It's the same group right now.
Have you had a life group experience since that dinner, or was that your last life group experience?
Oh, I've had six or seven life group
experiences. Did it change?
Change
from
there?
Yeah, made a difference.
So now, I mean, well, actually, there are several people who do not like silence. And so now, we purposely say, when someone asks a question, we'll say we're not going to talk for about a minute. We're going to think about that.
Great insight.
And it's been so good just because we have four people who are just going to talk.
Right.
And then we have three people who just won't say a single word unless you give them a long time to think about what they want to say. And so, and that's hard for me because I'm the one who wants to just automatically say it. And they're really deep thinkers, and they need to take their time. And since we've done that, I mean, they're coming up with some of the greatest stuff, and so, and they wouldn't have if we wouldn't have met.
Right.
And we talk about discipline other people is like interrupting, and some people, you know, I get offended when, you know, some people might get offended, but we really had to discuss, you know, if someone's talking, we need to say, hey, stop, and, you know, because you're going too fast. And so it's been amazing.
Yeah, there's a sense of honesty under all that that I really appreciate. You know, just saying, we're going to be honest about this. Don't be afraid to offend with love right away.
That's a good one right there.
You know what I mean? The faster you can get to the point of just talking about the elephant in the room or calling out that action you don't necessarily want or desire for the group, the better, because you can get past it rather than just saying, just bear through it. I'll just let him say his thing and then we'll move on. You know, that's a good word. Kind of leads into tip two, get everyone involved. Okay, people feel more connected when they find a safe place to share. We've also got to remember that idea of safety there, that if we go and tell everybody, man, here's what happened to my life group, so-and-so, and this, and that, and this, we're going to destroy the kingdom faster than, you know, than we can wish or hope. We've just got to remember it's a safe place, okay? And people are going to feel like when they can be vulnerable, they'll want to come back, and they feel like it's a safe place. And allow for silence. You know, as Josh was saying, sometimes he just says, we say, we're not talking. You know, and for guys especially, they need that kind of clarity. If we're not talking. You know, silence is never a problem in most girl groups. You know, they're just like, man, let's go. We're sharing and we're processing. And guys just don't operate that way. So allow for silence where necessary. People will speak if you give them time. Tip three, my personal favorite, and I think would be the one I would hope all our leaders feel to the core is to encourage, encourage, encourage. Okay, reaffirm the group's involvement. People are making strides in their life. Celebrate it like it was a birthday party. Okay, so that they just feel like they're being spurred on in the faith, spurred on in God's work. Send emails or make phone calls during the week. It just shows that you're going out of your way as a leader. And for some of us with busy lifestyles and kids and families or whatever, it's just hard for that. But there are ways, and we can discuss this later at a lunch or if you're listening to this, call the church and we'll think of different ways that we can do this. But text messaging is kind of the new note card. You know, it's emails that have gone wireless, and not many people use letters anymore, but to receive something in the mail is pretty fascinating. Holiday season's coming up. Send a little card, go to Target or something and buy those box of cards and just send them out to your group. You know, one of the most creative things I've seen last year was Chris Spalding in his kind of thank yous to his team members in the worship area. He made an audio CD. His computer had a microphone built in. He recorded through a little software program him just talking. So it'd be like, hey, Jared, just wanted to do something different as a card this year. So put it in your computer. And he sent it to him as an email on the CD and everything. And so they just listened to it. You know, that's really simple. With today's technology, most computers are built in that way, and you can do that. Okay, so go out of your way to encourage that person through the week. Remember, these are the people that God's entrusted with you. And people respond to affirmation. You'll be surprised. Now, sometimes we need to be careful. Okay. We need to realize in our groups, in our life groups, that when people feel affirmed and are getting stuff out, it's real easy for them to become over-attached. Okay? And you've got to learn through discernment, and we can help you as a leadership team on defining those things. They're going to be different for every leader, but you'll have those people that want to suck every ounce of energy out of you as a leader. And remember, it's not primarily that person. It's for the group. You can help them and be committed. But how do you work with that? You know, it's going to be different for every leader and different for every group. But just be aware of that and those people. Because one thing you're starting to do is you don't want to become that training wheel for them. You want to let them become independent with their walk and their faith, and they grow in themselves. Tip four, look to supplement. Okay, we're going to go over the resource list here in a second. And it'd be good to walk your people through it, especially those people that really don't know Bible study. That really don't know how to go beyond opening this Bible, that they have a hard time even finding the books that we're reading, how to do that. So we'll go over that. And then create a network. I left you a space there to say, who are you going to invite into the process this week? Is there somebody in this room, or do you know another life group leader that you can put down here and say, hey, let's send an email every week or every other week on where you are or how you're engaging this passage. And you create kind of a network. And that's just helping you guys become self-feeders in that area of building people into it and saying, hey, Darlene, this is, so-and-so. I'm just thinking through my life group this week. I've been reading here. How are you going to address this issue? She's like, great, I've thought of it. I've asked these questions, you know, or I've wrote down these questions. You're like, great. So go beyond yourself to think that you can supplement the Life Journal experience and you can get people involved that may be asking the same questions or have insights where you need it. Finally, ask for help. That's why we do the guild, but I want you to ask for help. Call us. We got community leadership team people. We got elders and pastors that can help you. We got other ministries. If you know of other churches that are doing great small group stuff, bang up jobs, ask them what they're doing. By no means do we say we have the corner on this thing. Reality is we're better together than we are apart. So ask for help. Learn how to ask for help in the midst of questions or uncertainty. If you'll flip over to the resource page, this is something we've created, and we have other versions of this that go more thorough and deeper and provide longer lists, especially under the seven. If you know our seven characteristics of a follower of Christ, we have books and recommendations under those. But what we wanted to create was an easy bite-sized kind of sheet that we can put out to people that they know where to go and understand a little bit. And I'm going to walk through and hopefully you can articulate the same things. Versions of Scripture, people always ask that all the time. We recommend those following. The NASB is probably going to be your most literal translation, and what that means is they're going to look at the original languages, the Greek and Hebrew, and they're going to be as close to the words there as possible. The problem with NASB is it's kind of choppy. You don't just read through it and feel like, oh, that's, sometimes you're like, word, and it just breaks up. And because we have such a high view of Scripture, we enjoy and recommend probably with the most encouragement, the NASB. You'll see things that are bolded and an asterisk on this list. Those things are that the staff personally kind of highly recommends. That if you have to choose from these, choose that one. You see the ESV, which is a new version. J.I. Packer is a guy who's kind of chaired this movement. And what they've done is he's taken the NASB, the literal translation, and tried to adhere to that, but is encouraged by the NIV, which is the next one on your list, which is more readable. It's more thought for thought rather than word for word. And the ESV kind of blends those worlds. I personally use it right now. You can get it at Berean. It looks like this on the cover. They have all kinds of leather bound and different things. They even have a neat one now that's it's like a journaling one. So you open it up and it's got notes and lines on the side so that you can write through it and different thoughts. But the ESV is something I've been really encouraged with and been personally using now for about the last 6 months or so. And the New King James, better than the Old King James because it's more readable, but they do a better word-for-word kind of translation too. Reference materials, get a dictionary. Encourage your people to have a dictionary. I always study with one, and it never ceases to amaze me how many times I'm flipping that thing up or going to Webster's Dictionary online and going, what does this mean? Okay, I got it. An exhaustive concordance, which just shows you where words show up in Scripture. And if you need help on how to use one of those, let us know. Vine's Bible Dictionary is a pretty common one and a reference tool that I want to look up this person. Who is Xerxes? You look up Xerxes and you get to read a little bit about the history that may go beyond Scripture. And an Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. This is kind of interesting. It's more heady of all the others. And you look up things and it's going to give you kind of the theological outplaying of it and deals with issues in systematic theology and different things. It's kind of like a Bible dictionary expanded. Commentaries, we've offered four there for you that are great. These are just men who have studied, who provide insight into the language or different application. The best condensed version there is that Bible Knowledge Commentary. It's by Volford and Zuck, a couple guys out of Dallas Theological Seminary. There's an Old Testament and New Testament. I encourage you to get the New Testament first and then the Old Testament. And literally, they're paragraph chunks for things as you're going through. So if you hit a tough passage, you could go right to there and get some pretty good insight. For those of your people in Life Journal groups that have a hard time getting the big picture of the Bible, or where do I even begin on reading this thing, or how do I do that? How do I go beyond just reading the chapters? Here's some resources. 30 Days to Understanding the Bible is kind of a workbook-oriented thing that they're going to get the big picture from Genesis to Revelation in 30 days, having gone through that book. Living by the Book, Howard Hendricks, is a classic. It's one we highly recommend, as well as The New Joy of Discovery and How to Read the Bible for All That It's Worth. Software resources in a day and age when technology is just booming, there's great tools out there. Now, they're more complicated on how to use them, but fascinating on how quickly you can organize and find things. I use Logos Bible software. You can, in that, find words, find Greeks, find all those different things, find cross-references with a click of a mouse. Accordance is a similar version for Mac, and then BibleWorks for PC is kind of another up-and-coming piece of software. They're pretty expensive. But if you're going to go down the road of being a Bible student, I would recommend them. Because you start to get the reference materials for cheaper than you do buying hard copies. Because you can get them digitally, and that way they just store on your computer. We've given you some internet resources there. I'm going to walk you through one of them here, Bible.org, in a second. But our resources page there will have all these breakouts. We'll have Bible charts, different things that people can go to. That one, enewhope.org, /Bible. It's the online version of the Life Journal reading plan we use. So literally, you click on devotions. Actually, if you type in Bible there, you'll go right to it. And they've partnered with Bible Gateway to the very things we're reading in our Life Journal, meaning the Bible reading plan shows up on your screen and its breakdowns, and you can click through them, different things, and you can have your devotion online. If you know people are going out of town and they don't want to carry their Life Journal or whatever with them, or they're at a place where that's not accessible, show them this. You know, have them bookmark it. Learn that they can do it. I'll show you that one as well as this one, Bible.org, in a second. But hopefully those are just recommended resources that you can use to help go a little deeper, help your people start to get a little more thorough in their reading. Another thing I'd recommend, too, is this Handbook to Prayer by Kenneth Boa. I carry it with me like I carry my Bible with me because it's got Scripture in it. But what it does is it teaches you how to pray Scripture back to God. And one of the most fascinating things I've heard from Darlene Hansen in her Life Journal group is that they've implemented this, and when the Psalms show up in their Life Journal, they pray them back at the end of their group. And that's just another variety you can try to open this up. And Kenneth Boa, B-O-A. You can get it Berean. Usually there are little pocket versions like this. I know there's paperback versions. But they break it down. You can do first month, second month, or you can go daily. You know, like here's the one for Saturday. So they have a Monday through Saturday. You're praying the things, things over and over. Here's an example. And we'll kind of close out with this prayer, and then I'll go show you something on the screen here. He kind of deals with confession, renewal, petition, different things. But here's Psalm 25, 6 through 11. And let's just treat it as our closing prayer as we finish. Remember, O Lord, your compassions and your mercies, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loyal love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. The Lord guides the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Just hearing the word of God spoken in prayer is great. So, amen to that. Stop the recording here.